What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. It's a rainy, dreary day, but the sun will soon shine. It's going to be March before you know it. And in the meantime, there's some exciting stuff to talk about. I know there's a lot of quarterback stuff out there. We'll get into it. But we begin today with hockey talk. And who better to do it with than Tyler Kennedy, who is sitting across from me. Joe will be in here a little bit later today, has something to take care of early, but Tyler is brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. Good morning, TK. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I want to see the sun. I got to see the sun. This rainy, dull days, man, it wears on you a little bit. But
it does.
You know, again, March ain't too far away. Once you get into March, now you start seeing the light. You know, you start seeing the light. You see a couple golfers on the course. It makes you feel good.
Well, I don't know if you remember last year at this time. It was like in the 60s and 70s. People were playing golf, and I was one of them. And, you know, carry your own bag, just walk, get some exercise, and it's good enough to play. The ground wasn't the greatest, but so what? You got out there and do it. You can't do that now in this weather. It's a little bit too cold.
I know. It's so when we had like almost at the end of January, an adult tournament, and every year it's like 50 degrees and sunny. The whole – every time I have it, and this year no different. It was a beautiful weekend. And obviously when I come home, there was guys golfing in Neverwood, you know, even a guy had shorts on. He's obviously a little crazy, but, you know, again, seeing guys on the course makes you feel good.
Well, I'll tell you what made everybody around here feel good. And this is going to be our Off the Top presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We have a lot to talk about, starting with what happened last night in the Four Nations face-off, because as much as I don't like disrupting a season for a couple of weeks, the more I watched that game, the more I came to the conclusion that I don't want to see another All-Star game ever, because those things in all sports have just become mundane and they're trying to recreate themselves, which tells you it's not working. Right. In this case, Four Nations, two of them played last night, and Sweden's always a bugaboo kind of team. They always seem to be lurking. But Canada, which has had so much success over the years, had it again last night. Just to refresh everybody's memory, Canada has dominated a lot of this kind of stuff. 1998 in the Nagano Games, that was an exception. The Czech Republic won. I remember Jager was all – I was over there, so I saw it all firsthand. It was unbelievable, that tournament and that big ice rink like that. I'm sure you would have loved to play in an ice rink like that.
Yeah,
less, or maybe not.
Would you? For me, yeah, less hitting, more – using your speed, and you know, I thought I obviously was a pretty quick player. So using your speed, finding more ice to deal with, make moves, get your shot off. But I never really played too much Olympic ice, maybe because I wasn't good enough to make the teams. But you know, mostly NHL size rinks. So
well, 98 in Nagano, the Czechs won that one. But in 2002 Salt Lake Games, it was Canada. They won the gold. 2004, Mario Lemieux had a part with all of this, by the way. The World Cup of Hockey. Canada wins. Before that, 87, the Canada Cup. That was one of the best when Lemieux and Gretzky played together. In 2006, Torino, Italy, it was Sweden who won. And again, they sneak up on people. You discount them, and they always have a team. And then in 10, it was Sidney Crosby with the golden goal. Canada wins. Sochi Games, Canada wins. That was when TJ Oshie went off in the shootout. But last night, we saw a 37-year-old who you know better than most. But watching him his entire career, I'm never shocked that he can – not do some of the stuff he's done. And at 37, I mean, all these guys who are in their 20s, speedy, you know, they got all their high-end skills.
Right.
He still was the best offer Canada could make. Whenever they need somebody in international play, Canada turns to Sidney Crosby, and last night he did not disappoint.
Like, talk about raising your game to the occasion, you know, and you see Mario come out. Just seeing Mario come out, it gave me chills through the TV with the respect he had in Montreal and then Sid shaking his hand. Like, when you see that, I kind of had a feeling, okay, Sid's going to have a game. He's got the big boys in the house. He's got everyone in Canada cheering for him. Again, he's a guy that raised his game. He played unbelievable in, like, he was fast. Like, that was the first, like, that's the fastest I've seen him in a while because he was moving last night. And just, like, those little things he does so well with being able to hold a guy off to create room and then throw it to the high guy. Like, he's so good at that, you know. And it's like, you know, I think Billy Guerin said one time, Sid's got that old man strength now. You know, when your dad grabs you, he's got that old man strength now. So when he goes to that one hand, you're not getting it off him. And last night, when he's driving wide on the right side, he gets his left hand out there. The guy has to commit. He cuts the middle. Then he does that little escape play, and he just creates room for the guy. I think it was
Mark Stone in the game.
Mark Stone coming down.
Or the last one with Mitch Marner, both of them.
Yeah, it was Mark Stone just coming down the, you know, Broadway, gives him a great feed, and then going down the middle, like that was like a 25-foot drop pass to Marner, who was just exploding through it with a ton of speed. And what a great, exciting game. Like you said, you can't go back to the All-Star game. Like, after watching that, and, you know, I would love to see the ratings from that game to an All-Star game, because I went to Florida 4 years ago when they had the All-Star game in Florida, and like the skills competition, even the games, like the building was half empty, you know, just because it's like you don't see too many different things. Some guys don't really want to be there. You know what I mean? Like, they'd rather be somewhere.
It's a little break. We'll take our family, have fun. We won't skate. We won't hit. We saw some hits last night that you would never see in an All-Star game.
Yeah, it just, again, it means so much, especially for Canada last night. You can tell that meant a lot to those guys. Whenever you put that jersey on, I try to explain, like, what it means to put a Canadian jersey as a Canadian, and it's like, it's hard, you know, because in the U.S., I'm trying to think of, like, what it would be like. You know, like, you can't really compare it to football or baseball, right? Maybe baseball?
Well, it depends on what you're, you know, football, they really don't play those kind of games.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Baseball, they do have competition internationally. It's just still not the same.
Yeah.
Right? And there's something special about hockey, its fans. And last night, the Bell Center, the respect and the admiration for both Lemieux and Crosby. Oh. And we've been spoiled here in this city, obviously. And you've had a chance to be up front and, you know, winning championships and doing all that stuff with Crosby. But, man, that respect runs deep. And as soon as Mario, I don't think there was a bigger hand than Mario Lemieux when he stepped on the ice.
Yeah, it was cool to see, you know. Yeah. Like, Mario might be the only guy in Montreal with a tan right now because he comes probably from Florida.
He comes and plays golf.
He looked good. Like,
he's not one to step in his tanning booth. I know that. So he's probably got a natural tan.
Well, I think he likes to golf in Florida too, right?
Yeah.
But, no, he looked good. And just, like, again, Mario doesn't show his face too much, like, internationally like that or on the big stage, and when you see him like that, it makes it extra special, you know. And playing in Montreal, seeing how passionate the fans are, I don't think anywhere else in the league can have that kind of buzz except Montreal, you know, in Canada. Like, I'd be interesting to see how it goes in Boston, but you're not, maybe for the U.S. probably for the U.S. and Boston is going to be buzzing, but for Canada to play in Montreal with those kind of guys. Because I think, was it Sid's dad that was drafted or played for Montreal?
Montreal was a goalie, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and seeing all that and seeing his dad there, like, that's got to be so, so cool. You know, and, like, every kid that's, you know, pretty much every guy in Canada is going, wow, this guy, I love Sidney. I want to be Sid.
They all do. And he's, you can't emulate a better person, that's for sure. So the fan hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. The fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. We invite you to call that, same as the call-in line. It's 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Austin Bechtold is behind the glass. So I want to get all of your opinions here about these three goals. And now Sidney had three assists. He was the number one star of the game, the player of the match, got a new Rolex. As you know, he collects that the way Lemieux collected cars. In All-Star games, I remember going to someone, one and saying, look, I got a new car. He just took care of the family with all those things. A Rolex watch, that's not cheap, you know. But I want to break down each goal. The first one, I said to you the other day, if you're playing Canada, you cannot allow them to go on the power play. What happened? Right off the bat, Carlson goes in the William Carlson goes into the box. 56 seconds into the game, you get a tic-tac-toe from McDavid to Crosby to McKinnon. And that pass by Crosby was just, what's the equivalent in the NBA, Austin? It would be a no-look, behind-the-bag Magic Johnson kind of pass.
Pretty much, from like half court.
Yes.
That pass from Crosby was just absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, it's like he's got eyes in the back of his head, you know, and like McKinnon had a lot of time, and he was the net was wide open. You know, but what a simple play till it got to Crosby. Then he does the no look. But like, imagine being on that penalty kill. You're like, all right, who do we kind of protect more? Or you know, who do we kind of shadow a little bit more? You know, who you can't because these guys are there's so much power there. You know, and like, I wish there was a couple more power plays. But what a.
Yeah, well, for that reason, you want to see it. But if you're another team, you don't want to see it. Yeah. So the second goal was a big one also that he assisted on. That's the Mark Stone goal because it was 2-1. Sweden got a goal after they had no shots virtually in the first period. I think just one total. They were being dominated. But they made adjustments. Give it to them. They know how to do that. They get a goal. But Crosby at the end of the second period, like 2:45 left.
Yeah.
With that. Now, does anyone have a bigger – you know this because you've played. You've seen, the bigger trunk. I'll say it that way. Does anyone have a bigger trunk than Sidney Crosby in terms of trying to get the puck away from him? He's one of the great puck possessors of all time.
Oh, yeah. He's just like what makes him kind of like not odd looking, but kind of because he's shredded up top. Like he's got a six pack, like he's shredded up top. And then from the top down, he's thick, like thick. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like his ankles are
it's like
thick.
A tree.
Yeah. Like he's real like thick down there. And, you know, I remember the, you know, you all, again, growing up, everyone hears about this Crosby guy. And then when I got drafted to Pittsburgh, I'm like, I can't wait to see this guy. What this guy, how good this guy is. Because I've been hearing about this guy for 10 years and I've never had a chance to play against him. And like, first thing he comes up, says hello, you know, just the salt of the earth, best guy in the world. And then you're like, oh my God, look at no one's lying about his legs. Like they are huge, you know. But being able to, like, what makes him so, like, dynamic is there's a lot of guys that are real strong legs, but the way, the movements that Sid does, like the opening up, the one-legged stuff, you know, all that kind of stuff with people on his back, you know, he's so flexible and powerful, and that's what makes him different. And, like, I remember going into the Pittsburgh Penguin locker room, and Sid would be doing the splits, taping his stick, and it was like, wow, like this guy's flexible. You know what I mean? Like, and he's strong, he's flexible. Like, only the goalies did that, is done the splits and taped your stick. You know, to see him, and then it kind of, you start putting everything together. It was so neat, you know, but I never realized how strong he was. He never really showed me until I was in San Jose and we came here and we
played. Oh, you had to play him.
I played him, and he had the puck down low, and I'm like, oh, perfect. Like, you know, we were friends, you know, and like we talked before the game and everything. And then he was down low, and I was literally on his back, and it was like I wasn't even there, you know, and he had that, you know, real
you
wide.
You went for a little ride.
Yeah, it was like literally the wide base, nothing I can do. And if you go one side, he's so good at opening up and spinning the other side. And I was like, you know, you just kind of like a little like shock in the game. And I was like, Sid, I've been playing with you 6 years. I never saw this in practice, you know, like were you just saving it, you know, or maybe it was just more intense and he was just doing it quicker. But like, again, I've played with a lot of Hall of Famers. No one's better along the boards and down low in those tight areas than Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, I think it's almost an insult to call him a grinder, but he is one of the best grinders in the game, despite all the talent you see. And I also think, Tyler, one of the best things about him, in a game dominated by these younger guys, you know, they have all the skill set and the talent, as he, you know, did and still does.
Yeah.
But at 37, the advantage I see more than anything else is his understanding of the game, is his instincts of this game. Yeah. And we saw that on play on that final goal. And that's why, to me, I was waiting for him. He got one shift in that. It was a 10-minute 3-on-3. Yeah. And then later, he finally got back on the ice. Yeah. When he did, He went through whatever. He's about to get off. He crosses into the attack zone when they're changing. And he notices that Mitch Marner's way back. So he's going to backhand feet and get back onside as he goes to the bench, which gave him a head of steam. Yeah. Just a brilliant play, I thought.
Well, it's just like, you know, the hardest thing for a hockey player is being able to, like, see the ice. And everything happens so fast. And when you see that play, it's like, how does he see him? How does he slow the game down? Because what happened was he slowed the game down. He got everyone going slow and kind of following him. And then he kind of slingshots Marner, who's coming with speed. And that he pushed that defenseman so far back, he was stuck. He was stuck on an island. And that Marner was coming with the head of speed. And just, again, that quick little move using the defenseman as a screen. But, like, the vision he has of not looking at the puck and seeing everyone and knowing where everyone is out there, like, that's that IQ. That's the vision that maybe goes, you know, unnoticed sometimes, but if you do know hockey, you're like, no, this is like eyes. This is legit. The eyes on the back of your head that no one really has like that. Because again, when you're watching that play, you're like, what's he doing, slowing it down? And then you're like, oh, there he is. There's Marner coming with a head of speed. You know, and that's phenomenal.
It really is, and it's just one of those plays that is typical Sidney Crosby, and it led to the game-winning goal. So they win 4-3 and escape what I thought may have been a bad loss. If they had lost that game, because Sweden was coming on pretty good, I got to give credit to both goalies. You know, Filip Gustavsson, past Pittsburgh Penguin, traded for Derek Brassard. He'd look good here right now because he's playing at a really high level.
Yeah.
And at the other hand, I'm not all that high on Binnington. I know he's won a cup, but he made some saves when he had to make some saves.
Yeah, it was those key stops, right? Those key stops and those key times. But, like, you know, you're getting some of those grade-A scoring chances. Like, that's why those goalies are in there, you know. Yeah. And that's, like, those are starting elite NHL goalies making those elite NHL saves. You know, they're getting the best shots. And, you know, seeing that, and you got to give, like, again, Sweden was on their heels for the whole first period. Like, Canada was buzzing, and they were moving, and then – you can tell they came back in the dressing room, like, all right, guys, okay, enough watching them. Let's start playing. And you got, like, coming back in Canada, in Montreal, and Canada had all the momentum. Like, Sweden's got a good team. Like, you can't really count them out because the power they had just to come back in that kind of game, it shows you that they're a dangerous team.
There's no question about that. Another dangerous team is Team USA. So they're going to play tonight against Finland. I said this the other day. And I think their goaltending is a big advantage. I give the check marks to USA when it comes to goaltending.
Yeah.
Those guys, Hellebuck specifically, who's going to play, but I even think Ottinger, when he's in and playing at a high level, that's pretty good. What chance do you give them ultimately of beating Canada? Because I still think it's going to come down to that. Mike Sullivan, he knows what he's dealing with with Canada, but they have some pretty good lines on USA right now. It may be as deep of a team as you're going to get in this format.
Yeah, that's what I like about Team USA. I feel like all four lines are built to be four lines. You know, they have their grinders, they have their top goal scorers, I think their defense are great, their goaltending's really good. Like, if you compare them to Canada, I think Canada's offense is better, but their back end, I think the US is stronger, especially with, you know, Hellebuck in there. Like, that's what I think the power of the US is, playing a solid game defense first, and they're going to get their guys score. Like, Austin Matthews, Jake Guentzel, like, those guys are going to score. And
both Tkachuks.
Yeah, both Tkachuks. But, like, when you think of those guys, like, they're going to play a heavy game. Like, Brady Tkachuk's not there to play skilled. He's there to try to run, you know, Makar through the wall, and that's how they win. And I think, knowing Billy Guerin, he knows how to build a team that's hard to play against, that grinds you down, that plays that playoff style. You think of Minnesota Wild. They have a team that doesn't obviously have that much skill except Kiprusoff and a couple other guys, but they win so many games of just grinding teams down and playing the right way. And I can see the U.S. doing that, especially, you know, Sully knows what he's dealing. I think he can look around and be like, all right, this is how we have to play in this short time. And it's going to be interesting. It's hard to kind of compare because you want to see how they gel. I think the biggest thing with this tournament is, like, how is – each team going to gel together and become a team in such a short period? Are they going to be able to find and roll and find that little, like, you know, that chemistry and like the flow of the game and rolling lines and finding your groove, because that's such a big thing in hockey. Like, you know, you see some teams, they just can't get in the groove or can't find in the game, where you get other teams that are really good. They just know how to get to their game right away, and that's what makes them dangerous for that full 60.
There's no question about that. 412-928-9370 is the number if you want to call. And here's a question. Austin, I'll ask you first on this one just to get your opinion of it. Gary Bettman came out and said, we're going to start the World Cup of hockey now. So alternating between the Olympics, and in other words, a good idea just to get rid of this all-star stuff that we've been dealing with. World Cup of hockey has to include the world, I think. This event does not include some countries because of political reasons.
Russia.
Yeah, I mean, not just Russia, but there are a lot of good countries who have.
Czech, yeah.
Yeah, Czech Republic is, they don't call them, what are they called that now? It's not Czech Republic. Chechnya, whatever.
Czechs,
yeah. Checkmate. But I think it's good, don't you? I'd rather see this than an all-star game.
I feel like players, and TK, you'd be better to answer this than me. I feel like some players like being at least named an all-star, right? Does that mean something to players, like for their legacy?
It means something to their wallet, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Well, I think it means more to be named to your country than an all-star. You know, like, I think if you're picked for your country, it's like, wow, I'm the best player. I can make the best team in the world for my country. And, like, just seeing, like, the all-star game and being around those players, like, you get, like, a feeling like it's just, like, especially the guys like Sid and Ovi that been to, like, 20 of them. They're like, all right, like, I'm not doing the skating. I'm not doing, you know, give me the shooting one and I'll go play a game, you know. But to play that World Cup, I just think it's so fun because for a fan, because whenever you compete against other countries, it's just like bragging rights, you know, everyone loves bragging rights. And like, I don't think it should be long. I think if you do it, it should be like, if you win one game or if you lose one game, you're out, to give them a break a little bit, you know, like don't have like these 2 week long. I think that's too long. I think you win, you stay, you lose, you're out. So it makes every game mean so much. Like, think of football. Think of other
single elimination puts a lot of pressure.
Yeah,
on you don't have like, an opportunity to come back.
And that's like if your team doesn't play good, it wasn't your year, you know. And that's, I think that's what makes it fun too.
We are back, Pomp and Joe Show. Joe Starkey will be here a little bit later, right after 11 o'clock. In the meantime, it's time for our six pack, which is brought to you by Bet365, and we're going to do some hockey six pack with our special guest TK Tyler Kennedy here. I want to start with this one. Brad Marchand is hated in Montreal, and yet last night it was very interesting to me that he was cheered because he scored a goal set up by Braden Point. That would kind of be a weird reaction. If you're a Canadian fan and you really don't like Boston and you specifically don't like him, you were forced to clap.
Yeah.
All for the good of the country.
It's like, what do you hate more? The Boston Bruins or them not scoring? And, you know, they interviewed him after, in between periods, and he goes, oh, I heard – you know, everyone going crazy. It was such a different feeling here. But he goes, I still saw and I heard a couple boos. But it's got to be cool. Like, and, you know, him being from Nova Scotia, so is MacKinnon, so is Crosby. Like, those three guys are the top five Canadians in the world right now. You know, and it's like, what was in the water? What made them so good?
Have you ever been in a Cole Harbour?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, me too. And we were there to do something with Sidney. He was gracious, helping us out, showing his haunts where he goes. It's a cool little town.
Well, I think you get competitive, right? Like, if there's another good player in your town, you're like, especially having a guy like Sid or MacKinnon or Marshy, like, you're like, it probably pushes you to be really good just to stay up to par with those guys, you know? But I love the way Marchand plays. I think he's got great chemistry. Remember, there was a time when Boston or there was some rumblings that he was going to come to Pittsburgh because him and Sid played so well together, which would be very interesting. But he's a great player.
You can't deny what he's been able to do.
Yeah,
there's
and
no
he's
question.
Not big.
No.
What is he, like 5'10",
5'9"? No, but he gets in he does a lot of things to agitate, but he's also really good in the offensive zone when he has to be. So
his long stick and his hands are underrated. He's so shifty. And one thing, like playing against him, And I think this is why he plays on the edge, because you don't know what he's going to do when you're around him. He can lick your nose, or he can punch you in the face, or he can dangle you. You know, he keeps you on
the edge. You know, it's funny, he did that licking during the COVID shutdown. I'm thinking, oh, of all things, you're going to lick somebody here when no one's allowed to even get 6 feet away.
He wanted to go home, right?
All right, six back number two. And this would be, again, concerning Sidney. And I ask this only because it seems to me that at age 37, he can still play for a long period of time. I know he probably wants to. In your best guess here, how long do you think Sidney Crosby could play? Again, given he's always
on top of
his game, the instincts of it. Sure, he's not as fast as he used to be, but he knows how to offset that with his smarts. How long can he play, realistically?
He's at least another 4 years after watching him last night. I would think another 4 years of solid hockey. You know, and
so he's got a little bit of Yagerism in him. Yeah, right? He's got.
Well, I think this is like when you're that good. His whole life is immersed in hockey from when he was probably four till now. So I don't know if it would be a good adjustment for him not to play. And with the way he plays, I think he can go right down to the fourth line and still be effective, which he probably wouldn't. But you know, the way he takes care of his body, the way he thinks the game, the maintenance, his mental state, you know, for how old he is and how mobile he is, like, you know, you always hear about these football players, other guys spending, you know, millions on their body and taking care of it, you know, like he's got to put a lot of time in. And I think the one thing I've always said to like the players, a lot of guys get out of the league because they don't take that extra time to take care of their body. They're running home to see whatever, their kids.
Does he take it to Tom Brady levels in terms of conditioning, nutrition, all this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I would think, you know, like he's a little bit more lenient than at the start, I think. Well, like in a different way. Like when we were younger, when we were in the prime of my years, he was like, you know, 25. Like we were going out, but he was never really drinking or nothing like that. You know, he was always like our dad, because he was like the responsible one, but he wanted to be with the boys, you know. But for health and like, you know, not eating McDonald's or none of that stuff, like you always hear that one, you know, that one story that he never had any sugar for a whole summer, no sweets, no ice cream. Like that's dedication. And just seeing him now and like how the Penguins feed their players, it's unbelievable. Like, you know, they're counting the marble in the steaks. And that was when I got traded from Pittsburgh to San Jose. I went from like, you know, getting first class meals, like unbelievable healthy. Then when I went to San Jose, they actually had a food truck pulled in the back of the rink. The food was unbelievable. Like it just wasn't that healthy. You know, we had like, you know, like just not that healthy stuff, like kind of like a little bit more Mexican style, cause we're out in San Jose and stuff like that. It was phenomenal, but everything was not up to the standard of the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, when they made their shakes, they weren't, you know, they didn't have the frozen anything. You didn't have the frozen fruit. You go to the Pittsburgh Penguin locker room right now, they have like literally two fridges of the best organic frozen fruit, frozen vegetables to put in your shake. And
wouldn't you like to have that at your own house? Guide you through what you're supposed to do and not do.
The coconut water, almond milk, like anything. And their biggest thing was like, we'll give you guys every opportunity to play good. It's on you to play good. And that was like phenomenal. From, you know, I can't say enough about how the Pittsburgh Penguins treat their players, because I've never been to a team that treated them like that. And so I went from San Jose and then I went to New Jersey. Oh no, Long Island. And Long Island was like, it was going from like a Ritz-Carlton to a Motel 8. It was like, great guys, loved it. But when we got our shakes after a game, I'll never forget this. I was sitting beside John Tavares, and the guy's handing out, you know, those little Gatorade bottles with like the orange Gatorade? And he's like, everyone gets one. I'm like, oh, what's this? Are we getting Gatorade after the game? And Tavares is like, open it up. We open up, and their strength guy was pouring protein
in the Gatorade.
In the Gatorade. And Tavares like, shake it up, eat, drink it. It's good for you. And I'm like, is that the shakes for after the game? And he goes, yeah, that's what we do here. And I'm like, dude, you got to get out of here. This.
Well, he did.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said it, because he was like gone. But like, you know, in Pittsburgh, they got everything. You know, it's phenomenal.
Next. As we get to continue, I like to hear that sound.
I thought it was him at the start. I was like, whoa.
A real six pack.
We don't do that until 11. What time is it? It's almost there. Okay. When you do a tournament like this, ultimately, because there is contact, there's going to be an injury.
Yeah.
And this is one of my contentions before it happened that, okay, you're going to take 2 weeks off. Now you got guys who are really centrally important to some of their teams. And we did see one. Shea Theodore of Vegas is a really good team. He got knocked out of that game last night. I don't know the extent of this injury,
yeah,
but that's a risk you take.
And it's almost like it looked like he might have broke his wrist, right? The way he went in there.
And that's all we know about Spencer Horwitz yesterday, wrist injuries. That's all we've been talking about. So,
you know, and like if you're the Golden Knights, like that's a huge loss for your team. And then you're like, oh my God, should we have sent them? You know, this and that. But like you wonder if any of the guys that aren't on the team aren't getting hurt either at the beach or somewhere too, you know, like, or. You know, when you're off for 2 weeks and then you jump right back into it, that there's a lot of injuries there too. So I think the owners and the coaches, they understand the gratitude to this Four Nations thing, but you know, it sucks seeing guys get hurt, man.
The last thing you want is key parts of your team going down when you're in the middle of a really
for two teams, right? Yeah. Like Canada needs them. Like, you know, we think of the strengths and the weaknesses of Canada. The strength is the forwards. The weakness is the defense and goalie. You know,
depth,
so,
especially when it gets down deeper. Yeah, no question.
He's a guy they might miss when it comes down to the nitty gritty at the end.
Next. See, it's perfect.
I can't wait till Friday. That makes
why
me
do you have
like,
to wait till Friday?
I got to work.
Well, you can,
I didn't score enough goals. Not work, you know? I wish I could say, hey, I'm going on the course today, but.
Pre-game ceremonies. I thought they were really good. A lot of people that I had talked to last night via social media thought it was overdone. I never think it's overdone. When you have one of these kind of situations, they brought on guys like Timo Salani, representative from each of these nations, and the final one was Lemieux. And I just thought that was as well done as it could have been done. So for those of you who think it was too drawn out, that's part of what this is. Yeah. It's a ceremony of all the great nations involved and also a respect factor, just like at the end of the game. When they lined up on opposing blue lines.
Yeah, no, with this kind of stuff, that's what builds the game, seeing guys like Mario walk on the ice, seeing the production. I think that builds that anticipation and, you know, with just Mario and what he does and how much of a name. And I think him going there, you don't see him, you know, he's not on TV. He's a quiet guy, but to see him walk out there, for I don't know about you, but it gave me chills. You know, it gives me chills seeing them and just like
the. It reminded me, TK, of the night that Consol Energy Center opened
when they dropped the water.
When he came out in the suit and with skates,
yeah,
and he took some of the old water from the Mellon Arena, dumped it on there. It was like a passing of the torch. That was awesome. Similar thing here.
And especially Mario's got that presence to him.
Oh,
you know,
no
like
doubt.
He, you know, he's big. He's got that presence. Like when he talks, you listen, even if you don't know him. But I remember my first year doing his fantasy camp that's coming up here, and I was like, okay, like how good can Mario be? He's 60, or you know, he's an old. But like, you can see how smart he was, just the way he moved on the ice, the way he thought the game, and like this was him, like. Not really skating, but still producing, and just like he's just so smooth, you know, and he's one of a kind. That's for sure.
No doubt. Montreal is happy to see him back. That's for sure. All right, we have one more. I think if I count it, maybe I'm not to six. I'm five. I don't know. We'll double down on this one if that's the case. And this has to do with regular season now. And I'm asking this from the standpoint of a Pittsburgh Penguins situation. They are going to have to dig out to try to get in. But the final game of the year, they're going to play the Capitals a couple times. Final game of the year is at home against Ovechkin. He's 17 goals away from Gretzky's record. He has enough games where he can do that. If he's within a hat trick of that, because anything's possible. He can if he's at
he's almost
he needs
within
three.
Four.
Let's say he gets 14, and then the last game he needs three. That means he could do it.
Yeah.
How much would you pay for a ticket to watch it? And would you buy that ticket now in advance of such a situation?
Yeah, like you got to watch that, right? Like that's something. I would definitely go to watch. Like it.
Buy the ticket now at the price that it is and hope it happens. If it doesn't, so be it.
And like honestly, like even if it's four, you know, he's got the power to put up four, you know, over, you know, obviously a hat trick and then probably throw him out there. But, you know, I know coaches, they're trying to get him to, you know, like when there's times for guys to score, it doesn't matter if it's two goals or him trying to break this, like they're going to try to get him there this year. So I think he's going to be extremely close at that. Like I would be shocked if he didn't already break it or if he was one or two away going to that final game. And he's a guy that would like, was not just a pure goal scorer. Like in his prime, like he was a monster.
Physical, yeah. Malkin went at it so many times. Sometimes like, crossed the line.
Yeah. And like, he's such a great guy off the ice. I met him a couple times. He is like just a beauty, you know, like just like awesome, you know? And I, the only reason I don't know if I want him to break it, which I know he is because like after his career, is he going to stick in the U.S. or is he going back to Russia and we'll never see him again? You know what I mean? Where if a Canadian or an American, they're going to be around in like involved in the NHL, where I'm not sure what his thoughts are. Because I think when you do something that big, you got to be around the game in the U.S., in Canada, where you played, which was the which is the best league in the world. You got to help grow that league for the next generation. And I'm not sure if he's a guy that would stick around or if he'd disappear.
He might. He seems to have adapted to American life pretty well.
But, you know, like, I don't, like maybe he'll be down in Florida. You know, like, you know a lot of those guys head down to Florida. But I just hope that when he does, he sticks around and he talks and he's around the game because he's a very interesting guy and he's a fun guy. And if you can ever get him on like a show or a TNT or an ESPN, he would be lights out because how fun he is. Like Brooks Orpik said, he's a character in the room. So
no, I don't disagree with that at all. Wouldn't it be funny if the last game of the year Ovechkin's within that mark and the Penguins need 2 points to get into the playoffs? Because the way the East is right now, the East has come back to the field a little bit.
Yeah.
And the Penguins, man, if they'd won that game against Philadelphia, it would be a whole different they were the better team that night. But let's say they get the, you know, that would be the way to end the season.
Oh.
Deny him and get in.
Oh, yeah, that would be again, the Penguins have been doing that the last 2 years. Like those last four games, one game have meant getting in or getting out, you know, and especially it being home against Ovechkin, like that's a game you got to go to. That's a game you got to watch him play. You got to see where the Penguins are at, if they can crawl back into it. Because like you said, there's an opportunity to actually make playoffs after a kind of a rocky year. So this next 25 is going to be all hands on deck, playoff hockey. You don't play good, you don't play. You know, they got to really kind of lay the hammer down here.
Which leads us to our final six-pack question. And I think it's the final one. Did I add right?
Every time I hear open it up, I'm like, I just, you know, you think of golf, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you ever play nine ball? You know what nine ball is?
Yeah, it's too complicated for me.
No, the one I just heard about now is you write a nine on a ball. So if you have the...
Oh, that's not the nine ball I know.
Yeah, so you have the nine ball. And if you hit, you got to keep it in play. But if you lose the nine ball, you got to chug a beer. And that's how you play.
I'm a lightweight to begin with. That could be a bad situation for
me. Just keep the ball in play and you can, or be good at
it. So wait a minute. So if I'm hitting the nine ball, it's my ball. I have to keep it. So if I'm good, you're not going to get a shot at it.
No.
What do I get for keeping it?
No, you don't. You always, every hole goes to a new guy.
Oh, okay.
You know, and say if you hit it out and the next guy in line gets to hit it and now he has to keep it in play.
Just for that hole?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'd be okay then.
It depends what day it is for me.
there are some crazy golf things. Sometimes it gets too complicated. But my question would be, what does Kyle Dubas do? He's had time on this break to think about things. I'm sure he watched Raquel last night. Raquel played a pretty good game, I thought. But he is your one trade piece that could bring you probably the most in what you need. But is he going to wait until the March deadline to do this? Would he strike ahead of time or just wait to see how it goes?
I would think he would try to strike before everyone else. You know, when I feel like you make kind of the wrong decision when you wait to that 12 o'clock on trade deadline because, you know, you're trying to wait guys. Oh, sometimes it doesn't happen. I think it's easier to get on it earlier. I think there's more out there. I don't think you're competing with, you know, some of the teams that are sitting in the weeds trying to get really good players. But Raquel, like, what a year. The guy's like, everything he touches is going to net, but this is the time to trade him. This is the time to go after the future. And I think this is that would be the play to get rid of him.
Yeah, we'll see. And then that becomes what you get in return, because I think at this point you can get a lot. There are teams out there going to need snipers down the stretch. He's having a great year for that. So we'll see. I want to remind you to listen to Starkey's show every Wednesday here to hear about Starkey's card of the week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m., 937thefan.com on the contesting page. Do you have a card for you when you were young, Tyler Kennedy? Did they give those in Canada, or did they?
A card?
Yeah, like a baseball card.
Yeah.
Like a hockey card.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the amateur hockey card.
Still have those?
Yeah, yeah. I had, that was like a big thing in Canada. When you played, like when you're 5 to 10 or 12, you always had a card. They always give it to you. I think like my son plays hockey now, you have to like pay for like custom pitchers. It's like, no, give these kids 10 cards. I'd rather pay for 10 hockey cards to be a memory than like a school pitcher you get at school. It's the same thing. It's like, no, give this kid a hockey card so he thinks he's like in the NHL. It's a better fit, you know?
No doubt. I think that's a good way to go. By the way, it is 10:51. Now time to make that call to Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. It's also the 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. And Joe Starkey has made his way into this building here, so he is back from, I don't know where he went. He probably, where did he go, Austin?
He had an appointment this morning.
No, I know, but where is he now?
Wandering around the building.
Well, I thought he might want to say hello to Tyler and goodbye and the same thing. Yeah. Tyler, it's been a blast. Thank you. I look forward to the rest. Who's your pick tonight real quick? United States and Finland.
United States. I think the United States is going to be coming out. Kind of like how Canada came out in Canada. I think the United States are going to have a great game tonight. So I got my money on United States.
And on Saturday, the last game at the Bell Center before the scene shifts to Boston is USA-Canada.
Saturday, you want to talk about rocking. Right,
like
that place is going to be unbelievable. You know that you go to that city; it's such a great city.
It really
is. It's like kind of like a European feel to it, but like great restaurants. You know, right now that downtown Montreal, there's probably not a better place this Saturday than there because it's going to be.
I wonder what ticket prices would be for that game. You know, I mean, can you check that out, Austin? Because I have a feeling
it's got to be over
when brokers. Oh, I would think more when brokers get a hold of something like this. You know, they're going to jack prices up, and people are willing to pay, just like at the Super Bowl, although I thought this year's Super Bowl was too overpriced. Maybe it was because of the same teams, you know, or at least Kansas City every single year. If you get new blood, ticket prices go up.
Right,
people want it because they haven't had a chance to see it. Did you find any?
Yeah, on Ticketmaster, the cheapest seat to get in is $580.
That's the face value.
That's including fees and taxes.
Okay.
$580.
That's actually cheap. You're right. I thought it'd be about
can't see the game.
But he said that's the cheapest, right? You're probably sitting behind some pole.
Yeah, yeah.
If they have those in the Bell Center.
I wonder how that works, though. I wonder if, like, the season ticket holders of.
Get some preference?
Yeah, like, hey, do you want this game? Or, you know what I mean? You would think they'd give you, take care of them. But
give them first option. If they don't want it, then make those seats available, right?
Yeah.
All right. Tyler, pleasure. Have a great weekend, and we'll
Thank
see you,
you
next week talking about, by this time, next time this week, we'll be sitting here talking about the championship game, which will be at the TD Garden. I think it's the 20th, right? Is that the right? All right. Well, so I still think it's going to be, I have USA winning it all.
Wow.
Mostly because of the goaltending. I think there's going to be some leakages there going on in Canada.
The back end wins championships, right, Bob?
And Mike Sullivan, that would be a big coup for him, you know, to get one of these kind of things,
He's got I always think of these guys' trophy rooms. You know, like Mike Sullivan's got, he's got a pretty good trophy room right now.
Sure. You must have one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, I've won some stuff, you know, all this, it adds up, you know, but I always think, like, imagine Sidney Crosby's trophy room. It's got he can probably fill a house.
It's like an addition.
Just imagine the stuff that would, like, we would have plastered everywhere. It's probably in boxes for Sid. He's like, oh,
yeah. After a while, I already got
that MVP one doesn't mean much. I'm just going to put it in.
He strikes me as a historian, and I bet you he has it all well chronicled in a very, very meticulous way.
And it's like, you know, like you said, the historian, like, the little stuff I think means a lot to Sid from, like, guys that played before, like, you know, that.
Just like the other day, they named a trophy after him.
Exactly. Like, that kind of stuff I think really means, because, like, Sid's, like, more like more, you know what I mean, morals and like just less materialistic, like things, more stuff like people, like, you know, I can see a letter written out in a frame from someone really cool. You know, I can see stuff like that.
I think that's great. That's old school. He's someone that people should really try to emulate. Of all the athletes we talked about.
I tried, Bob. It didn't work. I tried to play like him. I just couldn't.
Well, but you do everything else just like him. So a good guy to have around. We appreciate you being here, and thanks for your insight. TK, Tyler Kennedy.